church.
Good morning.
I have to thank the praise team again for keeping a song in our hearts, because this is how we fight our battles.
Amen.
Welcome to the church house. We bless you from the house of the Lord. Psalms 118, verse 26. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. That's Psalm 122, verse 1. I am Sister Deaconess Rebecca Johnson. You can call me Sister Rebecca. And I'm happy to introduce our teaching pastor, at Runner for Christ Ministries, a church of teaching, learning, and doing. We are blessed to receive another all-you-can-eat buffet in this hospital for sinners we call church. Because our spirits are always hungry and thirsty for the Word of God. Today's message is titled, A Living Sacrifice for God. The text is from Romans 12, verse 1 and 2. So turn or click in your Bibles to Romans chapter number 12, verses 1 and 2, and I'll be reading from the NLT. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Amen. Let's listen with ears to hear our very own Pastor O as he delivers a message titled, A Living Sacrifice for God. So church, repeat after me. Pastor O.
Pastor O.
Make it plain for us.
Make it plain for us.
All right. Amen.
Good prayer. Good prayer. Good word. Thank you, Deaconess Rebecca. Appreciate you. Thank you, Edward, for allowing your wife to take the butterflies away. Amen. That's what happens. For some reason I have to get the butterflies. Amen.
Right.
Amen. Well, let's pray. Lord God, our Father, we give thanks today and we praise your holy name. We thank you, Father, for giving us this opportunity once again to come into your house that we might consider your word. We thank you, Father, for in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, it tells us that these things are revealed to us by the Holy Spirit. So I'm praying, Father, that you reveal these things to your children by the Holy Spirit. Give them understanding. In Jesus' name, we pray and give you thanks already. Amen.
Amen.
Repeat after me. Say, Lord, bless my ears.
Lord, bless my ears.
So they hear your word today.
So they hear your word today.
And Lord, bless my heart.
Lord, bless my heart.
So it receives your word today. Because I acknowledge to you my ways and thoughts, they're not like yours. But I'm here today to lose my conformity to this world, to be transformed, change the way I think, so I can always know your good, pleasing, perfect will for my life. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We got to get started real quick today because I'm going to give you we've been going chapter by chapter by chapter by chapter, right? Today we're going to do it a little bit different. We're going to put it into sections. Amen. We're going to put chapters 1, 2, and 3 from 1 to 19 together because in those three chapters, he addresses them from the outset saying the only way to be made right with God is through faith, the faith in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, right?
Right.
We believe.
Yes.
That is the only way that we can be saved is that we believe. All that God requires for us to be saved is that we believe him about his son, Jesus Christ, and how God so loved this world so much that he gave his son, that whoever does what?
Believe.
Believes in him will not perish, but have what?
Everlasting.
Amen. Don't ever tell somebody you're trying to lead to Christ that they need to do more than that to be saved. Now, after we get saved, well, that's a whole nother story, right?
Right.
Amen. I, you know, you get to go to school, right?
Right.
But after you get to school, you got to learn 2 + 2.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
You don't just go there and sit there and just play with papers and pencils and crayons. You got to learn some stuff. It's the same way with Christianity. You don't just join the church. But after you join the church, become a member of the body of Christ, you learn some stuff. Why? You know why you have to learn some stuff? Because you're in the devil's world. Yeah, you think Jesus wants this. Republicans got us believing that Jesus wants the whole world. He want to run. No, Jesus taking out of this world a people for what? Himself. Jesus says, I'm going away. Guess where away was it? Washington. Jesus didn't say, I'm going to Washington. And I'm going to get some legislation together and prepare a way for you. Amen. All that do is prepare you to go in circles. What Jesus wants to do is take you to heaven. Amen. He said his Father's house. Many what?
Amen.
Whole lot of room. If it wasn't like that, I wouldn't have even told you this. But I'm going away to do what?
Prepare
a place for you. And guess what? Then I'm coming back, Ed, so I can get you so you can be with me where I am. And guess where it's not? Washington.
Right.
Amen. Amen. Or 19th Street. Amen.
Yes.
Amen. Jesus ain't saving you to take you to 19th Street. Amen. Amen. Or your favorite street. Jesus saving you to take you to heaven. So he wants them to know that from the outset. And then he tells the people who are ignorant, the Gentiles in chapter 1 of God's law, because they never got it, right? The law wasn't given to them, so they don't know nothing about it. But he tells them ignorance of God is no excuse. Ignorance of the law is no excuse. Amen. You got common sense, right? You know somebody created you, right? God set up creation to say somebody did this. Why? Because we die. If I was the one running the sun, when I die, guess what happened to the sun? We in trouble. Amen. Amen. So in chapter 2, he addresses the Jews, right?
Okay.
Tells them, you think you're saved because you're religious. You think you say because you got the law, because God did give you the law, all 613 of them. But guess what? He didn't give it to you to save you. It's just a babysitter. It's just to let you know that you need Jesus. And so in chapter 3, he brings the Jews and Gentiles together. And from 9 to 19, he launches his indictment against every human being on earth. They have altogether become unprofitable. There is none good, no, not one. And then he goes on with a litany of things about, amen, us. But then when he comes to chapter, verse 20, now we pick up 3 more chapters. The latter part from verse 20 to the end, and then chapters 4 and 5. All of those go together, right? Because they speak about our salvation. Right? They tell us that God provided a way for us to be saved. He did for us what we couldn't do for ourselves. We could not make ourselves right with God. Why? Because God demands absolute perfection, absolute holiness. You mess up once, you go in hell. Simple as that. Right? But what if God provided somebody who kept his law to the full? Even though it wasn't given to save man, he kept it to the full, right? Didn't violate one. What if God said, if you believe in that man, I'll impute his righteousness to you? And so we become Abraham's children. Why? Because like Abraham, we believe God. Amen? Abraham was accredited or accrued righteousness to him because he what? Believed God. God spoke about, we'll get to that later. Amen. So in chapters 4, justification. Chapter 5, right? Peace with God. Then we come to chapters 6, 7, and 8. They begin the process of telling us what we need to do after we get saved. We no longer belong to Mr. Gilmore. Amen. We are no longer Mr. Gilmore. We're giving Satan a new name. His name is Mr. Gilmore. We no longer belong to Mr. Gilmore. We are no longer his property, but we've been purchased from Mr. Gilmore with the precious blood of Jesus. Amen. That blood can buy anything. You put the blood of Jesus on it, it can buy anything. Amen. Because that's how much power is in that blood. It can make you right with God.
Okay.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So we're no longer Mr. Gilmore's property, but guess what? We're now slaves of Jesus Christ and what? Righteousness. Now we see God's kingdom. We see God's righteousness. Amen.
Okay.
Then chapter 7, reality slapped us in the face. Reality said, well, you know, I hate to tell you this, but your spirit is good to go. Loves the Lord and ready to go to him. Okay? But your flesh, not so much. And you're stuck in between the two. So you got your flesh telling you, I don't like God. I ain't never going to like God. We don't get along at all. Then you got your spirit over there. I love the Lord. He heard my cry. Save my soul. Fit it for the sky. But every day, our flesh and our spirit is at it. Our spirit loves the things of God. Our flesh hates the things of God. And we have to decide daily which one we're going to follow. Amen. We make that choice. The devil ain't making us do nothing. He didn't make Adam and Eve do nothing. He just showed up and suggested something. A man called God a liar. Said God jealous of you. If you eat from this tree, you're going to get gooder. And God knows that. He don't want you gooder. Amen. He want to be gooder all by himself. He want to be gooderess all by himself. But if you eat from this tree, I'm just saying, you're going to become like God. You're going to be able to determine for yourself what's good or evil. You don't need God. I mean, like he gave you life and you got to derive it from him, but you don't need God. Ain't that something? How the devil convince? It's like trying to convince a plant it don't need the dirt. Plants ain't that dumb. They're like, you better put me back in that dirt. You crazy? That's where my water and nutrients come through my root system, homie. Put me back in the dirt. You disobey God and live without him. I'm good. Birds is like, what you mean I don't need God? Where you think them worms come from? Amen. Where you think my food? God feed me. You tell plants you don't need God. Plants be like, how you think I got my color? You gonna give me my color? You gonna make me look good? You can back up with that noise. You live without, the only thing on earth that want to live without God is humanity. And we got the brains, mother. We got the brains. They're instinctual, every one of them. God made them to do what they do. We got the brains, but amen. So 7 shows us that reality, but chapter 8 tells us, look, it's your choice. You can operate in dead works, and that's all it's going to produce is dead stuff. Or you can operate under the Holy Spirit and bring life to everything you do. So the choice is yours. Jesus said, I set before you life and death. Lawrence, we ain't that smart. So guess what he told us? Choose life. But how many times we choose death anyway? Just like Adam and Eve. We sure enough descended, right? God told us if you do that, you're going to crap straight out. We over here with the dice. Then wondering why we snake-eyed. Because God said you would. Amen? So chapter 6, 7, and 8 brings us to that reality that we have to live for God. Chapter 8 ends by telling us nothing can separate us from God. And that is given to us for encouragement.
Yes.
Because there's a lot of stuff in this life you're not going to like. The devil going to bring stuff against you. You're going to cause stuff to come against you.
Okay.
Amen? Amen. But you need God to get through all of that. You need to understand that you're not going to be lost. Because you know how we do. People get saved, then we catch them not being perfect, and then we say, you ain't saved, you're going to hell. You need to go get baptized again. You lost your salvation. That used to scare me. I say, Jesus, I can lose my salvation. He said, don't worry about that. I saved you. You didn't save yourself, so you don't have your salvation. I got it. Because if I gave it to you, you'd lose it. So, amen. Amen. I'm wrapped up in Jesus. Amen. But that doesn't mean I can't mess up. Now, chapters 9, 10, and 11, they talk about one thing. Paul, these are the chapters that Paul put in parentheses. Because, you know, Paul normally writes about theological stuff first. Then he brings in the practical application on the second half of the book. But in Romans, he does something different. He brings in this discussion about Israel, how God used them to be the vanguard to the rest of the human beings on earth about how to worship and live for God. Amen? But they, the people they were going to and the Gentiles around them, when Paul says, since you deem yourselves unworthy of God's salvation, then we turn to the Gentiles. The Gentiles was like, holy dance. Holy dance. That's how they holy dance. Amen, back then. Amen. They did their holy dance. Why? Because they was readily to jump on board with this salvation. But the Jews, they just didn't even want to hear it. They're like, that Jesus ain't the Christ. He ain't the one that should come. We looking for another. Amen. So Paul says he wished that he was accursed from God, if it meant that his people could be saved. Because theirs is the promises of God. Theirs is the covenant of God. They had this conversation with God on the mountain in Exodus 20, right? They heard the voice of God. Theirs is the patriarchs. Theirs is the 613 laws of God. Nobody on earth has that. But they're not saved. They're not saved. He tells us in chapter 10, consequently, faith comes by hearing the word. And we picked up four things from chapter 10 that we don't want to leave over there. How can they call on him of whom they have not heard? And how can they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without a preacher? And how can they preach unless they've been sent? That means that the Lord expects us to tell people about Jesus. Other than that, they can't call on him. A blind man in John chapter 9 told us what? God does not hear sinners. It's time out for us thinking God listens to sinners. Sinners can pray one prayer to God. Save me. That's it. Jesus said, when you pray, say what? If God ain't your father, then how you gonna? Amen. Now we can pray for people on the outside. The Lord said, do what? Lead a quiet life. Mind your own business. Work with your own hands. Get the respect of those who are where?
Outside.
That is witnessing without even opening your mouth. Your life, you're the image, you're the likeness of God. Amen. And Jesus said, if I be what? Janice just said that. If I be what? Lifted up, I will do what? So we lift up Jesus by living as a Christian ought to. And that's got drawing power. But too many of us got driving power. Too many, you're going to ask folks why they don't go to church. One of them, they done ran into one of us. Deaconess Loretta, they done ran into one of us. They done had to deal with us. Amen.
Right.
You know I like to say it. Go to your job and ask them, hey, what do you think about so-and-so as a Christian? And they say, they go to church? Oh, I was praying for them. I didn't even know they went. Why? Because we're opposite of Christ. Amen. And that's very off. That's putting off. So Paul says that they can't call on Jesus because they haven't heard of him. And how can they believe in him of whom they have not heard? That's a slam to us. Mm-hmm. Amen. How come they haven't heard about Jesus? How come everybody on your job haven't heard about Jesus? Because we're not saying anything. I just like to go to the meeting with the Lord by myself. Me and Jesus, I don't bother nobody. Nobody bother me. I just work me and the Lord. Jesus ain't called you to live in a cave. He ain't called you to be no hermit. He called you, he said, go out and do what? Proclaim. preach the gospel to every creature. That means that word preach in that context means proclaim. That's not just the preachers. It's all of us. If the woman at the well could have a 15-minute conversation with Jesus and then go and lead a whole town to Jesus, we've been sitting in church 11 dozen years. How many people have we led to Christ this year? How many people have heard us, looked at our life and said, I want that? Those people said, you know what they said, Mackie? They said, we came out here because Mackie, you know, you was fired up. We came out here because you told us to. But now what? We believe because we heard him for ourselves. How many people have come to church because you asked them to or lived the life in front of them? Can you imagine that? Here's the gankiest woman in town. Had a horrible reputation. Got to sneak at noon to get some water because you don't want to be bothered. Because she got a crappy lifestyle and had five husbands. And the husband she got now ain't even hers. This woman. Now, get this though, Mary, everybody else, Jesus told them, look, what you just saw, what I just revealed to you, keep it to yourself till after I'm up out the grave. But he ain't tell her that. She, when Jesus told her about herself, and he seemed like, you know, usually we would get funny beside ourselves, right? We'll feel like, why you talking about me like that? I ain't do none of that stuff. But we know we lying, right? She didn't even say anything to Jesus about that. She said that we know when Messiah comes, he gonna tell us everything. But guess what? Messiah came. Amen. But Jesus didn't. Jesus said, the one you're talking to, I'm him. And guess what? She didn't stagger, Deaconess Clyburn. She didn't stagger at that revelation. This is why old folks say she got running in her feet. And she went back to the townspeople she was hiding from because of her ganky life. She went back to the townspeople and said, come see a man that told me everything I ever did. Is not this the Christ? And her masses were so passionate and so full of fire. They said, we came out here because you told us. But now we believe because we heard him for ourselves.
That's right.
Amen. So Romans challenges us in chapter 10 to go out and tell somebody. Now in chapter 11, God lets us see the future. Right now, in short, God is saving Gentiles. Yeah, they're coming into the church in droves. Jews, not so much. There are Jews that's being saved. I listened to this one guy, the Jewish Jesus. That's the name of his podcast or his show. I listen to him sometime because he can go, he can get deep into that Old Testament, amen, and match it up with the New Testament like nobody else I've ever heard because he's a Jew. And he was a rabbi, okay, and he had risen to the level of what they call master teacher. And now Jesus stepped in there like Paul and saved him. And now he's showing us Gentiles, amen, things that we don't know about worshiping God, even though we're in Christ. Because he can go to a level that we didn't have the Old Testament. I mean, we didn't have the 613 laws. We didn't grow up under that. They did. The Jews did. So when they get saved, like Paul, oh boy, they can work that word. They can make it match up. And the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed and fulfilled, right? And they can really, really hook it up. Amen. You listen to some of the sermons you hear from Stephen. Listen to Paul's sermons. Listen to Peter's sermons. And watch how they take that Old Testament and bring it till today, to the New Testament. They use it. They didn't have a New Testament. All they had new was Jesus died and got up again. But what they did was took the Old Testament and showed how Christ came and fulfilled the 119 prophecies about him. Is not this the Christ? 3,000 people joined the church after Peter's first sermon. And by the time you get to Acts chapter 6, they've grown even exponentially. Amen. So our job is to go out and tell people about them. Right now, God is saving Gentiles. Anybody who's not a Jew is a Gentile. Now, I know these black Israelites running around here talking about black people are the Jews and everybody else is Gentile. You want to really mess their head up, make it look like fried eggs been in the pot too long? All you got to do is say to them, Egyptians are black, right? Right? North Africa? North Africans, right? We love to say Egyptian, Egypt, this, that, and the other, right? Okay. And the Israelites were black, right? So these people over here in Egypt didn't know they were Israelites, calling themselves Egyptians, and held their own people in slavery for 430 years? Yeah, that's they look like Malachi, they look like. Malachi like, oh, I ain't never thought about it like that. Amen. Amen. But that just messes them up. Usually they'll tell me they got to go get their higher up guy to come. They, you know, when we was first starting the church, remember that Avetrius down at the Beachwood Center? This guy across the street had some guy that had some funny thing about Jesus, and he got twisted up trying to twist up our meeting, right? So he got twisted up by the Holy Spirit through me, and so he brought his teacher out, the one who taught him, so he could battle me. I don't battle, I don't do debates, because Jesus told us not to get into that. All you do is end up fighting, that's all, or you end up standing there arguing for 15 hours and ain't accomplished nothing. So they brought him out. After having a discussion with him and him listening to our class, guess what? He told his boy, you know, he right. So now his boy like, I brought you out here to show him the way. He didn't, you telling me he right.
Well.
Yeah, he couldn't take that. All you had to do is follow the Holy Spirit, let the Holy Spirit have his way. Okay. You know, the devil can't argue with God. But if we get into self, he can. So God is letting us see into the future. In the future now, we talked about the seven signs of the second coming of Christ. The sixth sign is when the Antichrist goes hard after the Jews. The seventh sign, God gets that remnant of Jews. He's going to protect them from the onslaught of the Antichrist. And then that remnant that's talked about in chapter 11 comes in. And now Jews and Gentiles are all one big happy family, right? God is taking out of this world a people for himself. Notice he didn't name a race. None of that. A people. So if you are people and you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, God's taking you out of this world. Amen. Not today, one day. Maybe today, I don't know. But you're going to be absent from here one day and present with him.
Okay.
In eternity.
All right.
One day, gone. In eternity, forever.
All right.
Praise God. And now we're through with all of those chapters. We come to chapter 12, and Paul is back to his regular self. Chapters 1 through 8, you can call those theological, right? And now we're coming into the practical. And chapter 12 starts with what we talk about every single Sunday. Our ways and our thoughts, right? Not yours, right? But we're here to be what? Transformed, changed over. So in verse 1, he says, therefore, in view of God's mercies, submit your bodies, your flesh, to God, which is your reasonable service and true act of what? Worship. When we do what God says, we worship. And remember chapter 6. Chapter 6 told us, look, you're no longer slaves to sin, but you're slaves to Jesus Christ and righteousness. It's back to the image of God. It's back to his image, his likeness, holiness, and righteousness, right? A couple of God's moral attributes. And so these bodies that we are in, we have the power of the Holy Spirit to say no. The devil cannot make us sin. We learned that very early in the book of Genesis. He cannot make you do anything. And God won't make you do anything. God told Adam and Eve, don't eat from the tree. He gave them the right to choose to do that. Ain't that something in this world? We're trying to take away people's right to choose. But Jesus said, I set before you life and death. If Jesus set before you life and death, but man have taken away your choice, your right to choose, how are you going to choose life or death? Which you don't even have choice. You know, church, sidebar, I know we hate it that the world, our government, start doing stuff that the church don't like. That we're not for gay marriage, any way, shape, or form. Leviticus told us that a man shall not appear before God like he a woman. And that was not talking about no clothes. That was talking about transgenderism. So we know the word is clear on that. We're not for that. But we live in a country that's pretty much like Babylon. Yeah. Or like the Medo-Persian Empire or the Roman Empire. We live in a country, and when people get in a majority, guess what? And they vote for something, guess what? It happens. But the church stays the same, right?
Amen.
See, the church today is starting to flip up. We're starting to say the stuff the world is doing is okay. But the Lord tells us that we are to lose our conformity to this world. We are to surrender this flesh to God. If I get ready to slap somebody, Deacon Reed, I ain't going to slap you. If I get, because you took me out to dinner last week, it was so sweet. Amen. But anyway, if I get ready to slap somebody, I have to stop now. See, the devil didn't care. He'd be like, slap them. Take the skin off their face. Okay? But now I have to say, Jesus, can I slap him? He'd be like, nope, let him go. Ain't nothing I can do. Why? Because my new Lord said, let him go. Let him go. So when my flesh wants to act up, amen, it's submitted to God. And so if my flesh has been submitted to God, my flesh got to get permission to God to do what it want to do. Say what it want to say. Think what it want to think. Right?
Okay.
We're talking about the part of us that is not saved. Your flesh did not come along for the ride when you was headed for the baptismal pool. The flesh was like, I ain't getting in there. That's why people have to be laid back. So they'd be out of control. Amen. The flesh be like, I ain't going under that water. And when I come up, I'm just going to be a wet devil. That's my salvation. Amen. That's why baptism don't save you. Baptism say, I'm in the club. Amen. I'm making a public confession of what happened on the inside. That's all baptism is. Amen. Then we're filled with the Holy Spirit. Then we're baptized and positioned in the body of Christ. And so now we have the before, though. Chapter 6 tells us when sin told us to jump, we was already in there. Amen. But now we have the Holy Spirit. We have power from on high. Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit comes, you will receive what? What do you think we're supposed to do with that power? Listen to the Holy Spirit. It is not easy, that battle between the spirit and the flesh. It is not easy. And Galatians 5 lays it out. You ought to read it sometime. It is a battle. It is a fight. The flesh does not want to listen to the spirit, and the spirit sure ain't listening to the flesh. And so they are constantly at war with one another. But we get to make the decisions, Lisa. We get to decide if our flesh is going to do this or not. Now, the Lord Jesus knows, Lance, he knows we're going to lose sometimes. Sometimes we're going to mess it up. So he gave us 1 John 1:9. Why did God give us 1 John 1:9? So we could sin uncontrollably? No, that's addressed in chapter 6. What, shall we sin that grace got something to do? So it can forgive us? Because forgiveness won't have nothing to do if we don't sin. So I'm sinning, so grace has something to do. I'm being kind to grace. No, no, we don't do that. Amen. No, no. What we do is we access the power of the Holy Spirit to tell ourselves no. We demonstrate that we love God more than we love ourselves. Jesus said it like this. If you love me. Notice he put an if there. That means we're going to have opportunities to prove if we love him or not. If you love me, you do what? Keep my commandments. How much do you love Jesus when you don't even read the Bible to know what his commandments are? I love Jesus. Have you ever read the Bible all the way through? No. I love Jesus. Have you ever read the New Testament? No. One day I told Jesus, I love you. You know what he told me, Percy? What do you love about me? Amen. So I started reading the Bible, Darius. I started reading the Bible so I could be like, I need an answer for that because I don't have no answer. And I didn't have no answer. I'm saved. I didn't accept the Christ as my Lord and Savior. You talking about why you love me? Because you here? It's like climbing a mountain because it's there, right? No, so I had to get more than that. You know how I learned it? This verse. After several times through the Bible, the Lord said, I got through chapter 11 and he explained all that future stuff to me. And then we got to chapter 12 and the very first word there was therefore. Y'all remember me talking about this? So I asked him, what is that word, therefore, therefore? And he said, go back and come back to this verse and I'll answer you. So I went back to chapter 1. He said, oh no, that's not far back enough. Amen. So I'm like, what do you mean? Chapter 1 is the beginning of the book of Romans. What do you want me to do, read the introduction? He said, no, go back to Genesis and come back here. Because listen, the words that follow therefore in view of what? God's what? Mercy. What mercy? Well, when you go back to Genesis and you see Adam and Eve running around trying to hide behind fig leaves and trees from the voice of God, they don't even know where the voice at. They're trying to hide from it. And then God fixes it up with Adam and Eve. That's the first sight of what? Mercy. And then when you read through the whole Bible, so I say, Lord, I got to read the whole Bible. He said, no, just tell me the story from Genesis to here. And so I told him the story from Genesis. It's real simple because the Bible is all about Jesus. It's all about God saving us. That's all it's about. And so I just told him that we messed it up. You made a promise in Genesis 3:15, and of course I'm not going to do it now, but we walked through the whole Bible. We walked all the way to the flood. We got over the flood with eight people. Eight people. To this day, scholars don't know how many people existed before the flood. Could have been like today. It could have been what? What do we estimate in America? Well, the world to have 8 billion people now. America, 340 million. Okay. Those are just estimates, but it could have been 8 billion people because we don't know how long it was. All we know is it was 7 generations from Adam to Noah. But people was living 1,000 years. So we don't know how many years it was. But we know over all those years, they fail. They fail. And then God brought Noah across. God establishes a new covenant, reiterates the covenant he had already made. Amen. Establishes a new covenant. We can eat meat now. And the rainbow is a reminder he ain't going to tear the world up again with a flood. And then Noah's three kids, you get to chapter 10, you see the table of nations. And then we get to the chapter 11. They mix up all the languages. The people inhabit all the places on earth that they inhabit to this day. Acts chapter 17 tells us that God did all of this that you might. Amen. Reach out and believe in him. And after that, we got Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We know their stories, right? And then we got Joseph. We know his story. And then we got Moses. We know his story. We got Joshua. We know his story. We have the judges and their up and down history. Amen. In and out with God. Pretty much like us every day. Then after the judges, they go straight crazy, Jeff. And they say, we want a king. Give us a king like we're doing now. Give us a king, but it ain't Kamala. We want Kamala for president. The other one want to be a dictator. Hey, man, we'll tell me to my face on day one, you're going to be a big dictator. I might look like a Haitian to you. Police pull up on me and say, hey, let me see your ID. You look like a Haitian. Amen. And I'm supposed to be with this clown. No. Amen. So, amen. So we get Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, we get Joseph, we get Moses, we get Joshua, and then we get the judges who are always up and down, and they go crazy, give us a king. God tells them the king gonna crap you straight out. They're like, we don't care, we want a king, we want to be like the nations around us. But guess what? The nations around them didn't know God. So you want to be like people who don't know God. So they rejected the Lord, and God gave them They got rid of the theocracy, democracy, God, government, right? They got rid of that, and they set up a monarchy, and Saul was the first one. And we know the story of the kings. They were horrible. You might have had five good ones. The rest of them straight crapped out. And they crapped out so bad until 722, Sennacherib came and took the 10 tribes in the north into captivity. And then they wouldn't stop crapping out after that. And then Nebuchadnezzar sent his boy Nebuchadnezzar riding down there and took him in 586 into captivity in Babylon. Janice just told y'all about the 70 years that Daniel lived all the way through that. Amen. Then they go up under the Medo-Persians. They go up under the Greeks. They go up under the Romans. When Jesus showed up, they under who? The Romans. Amen. Jesus comes, does his three-year ministry. 40 days later, he ascends into heaven, right? 10 days after that, just 50 days after his death, burial, and resurrection, the church is born. Amen. And then Paul, in AD 57, writes the book of Romans. Just 3 years before he would go to Jerusalem and be arrested and not get out this time. Amen? And so God says, in view of my mercies, submit yourselves to me. In other words, all I've done for you, all the mercy, kindness, and love that I've shown you, submit your body to me. I sent my son to die for you. Submit your body to me. I purchased you. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 says, you are not your own. You've been purchased. Amen. By the precious blood of Jesus. So we literally, legally belong to him. We're his slaves. He gets to tell us what to do. Now, we're not chattel slaves. We're indentured servants, I guess you could call it that. But we're his. We belong to him. He has a right to tell us, wipe your snotty nose. He has a right to say that. He has a right to say, you got a booger right there. Amen. We got Mackie like, really? Amen. So we are to give our bodies to the Lord. Next he says, lose your conformity to the world. Let me just make this plain. The only way you're going to lose your conformity to this world is to see something that's not conformed to it. And that's the Bible. Amen. Amen. We don't need to go to read somebody's book that they wrote about this, that, or the other. We need to read the Bible. If we're conformed to this world, whatever area of our life is conformed to it, I'm sure the Bible is going to say something about that. If we like lying, the Bible going to tell us that God hates what? Amen. So we read that, and if we like having sex outside of marriage, we're going to read the Bible, and it's going to say only the marriage bed is undefiled, and now what? We're challenged. Amen. I mean, just think of all the things that we do that God said don't do that we know from his word. That's our conformity to the world, and the Lord is telling us by the power of the Holy Spirit, lose your conformity to this world. Love me enough to tell yourself no. Love me enough to deny yourself that what you think is a pleasure. Amen. Y'all know when I was going drag racing on Sunday, right? Spending tithes and offerings on race parts. I thought I heard Jesus say do that, but it turns out he didn't. Amen. Amen. I was conformed to it. Amen. So when Jesus came to me talking about you're going to have to make a choice, I had to decide, do I love drag racing on Sunday? Get this though. I went Wednesday, Friday and Saturday and Sunday. I was supposed to be teaching Sunday school, helping my pastor out, but we had eight preachers. I figured somebody else could do that. Jesus wants me to go promote him at the drag strip, running for Christ. That's how I started. Amen. So anyway, when I read God's word in Hebrews 10:25, It said, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, which is the custom of some of you. I'm like, Jesus, I'm the sum of you. Because I regularly, I had to join the same church six times. It wasn't my fault. They had a rule, if you miss 3 months in a row, you got to rejoin. So that was their fault. 3 months. If you miss a whole 3 months in a row, you got to rejoin. And Minister Lucia, you know what the Bible say about preachers when they sin. See, y'all can sin, nobody know. But when we make a sin, we have to come up here and get berated. So y'all don't even think to act like us. Because how many people say, oh, Pastor smoke, I'm smoking. Pastor go drag racing on Sunday, I'm going to build me a Congo drag racing on Sunday. So the Lord crap us out real bad. So y'all be like, oh, wow, that's how Jesus do them. I ain't trying that. Like, really? So we have to lose our conformity to this world by changing the way we think. The way we think is the way we think, right? But when we read God's word, then we're challenged to change the way we think. I've always thought about that this way. But now I read the Bible, and the Bible say, wait a minute, Jesus, you don't like lies. I lie all the time. What's happening? Amen. So my 100 lies, just, I was progressing. The next day, I only lied 99 times. Amen. Progress. And so over life, that's how it's going to be. Progressively over life, don't try to turn religious and start trying to please God by religion, but please God by living the way he wants you to because you love him.
Amen.
That's what worship is, right? Worship. Do you value God's worship? Then worship. If you value who he is, then worship. Tell yourself no. Amen. Amen.
All right.
Tell yourself no. It's not going to be easy. Oh, here comes here. It's not going to be pleasant. But tell yourself no.
Yes.
I'm not going to even stand here and tell you you're going to feel good about your no. You might go to wondering, you know, I don't even like this person that I've become. I was happy before, but now I'm doing everything Jesus said. I ain't even happy no more. So what? Your life is given to you to glorify God.
Yes.
Look, God got heaven waiting on you. Do you know you're going to have forever to do whatever you want to do, go wherever you want to go forever? My wife and I was talking about it the other day. We'll be able to go places we can't afford to go now, and we're going to get to do it 1,000 years when Jesus is reigning and ruling.
Amen.
Amen. And then after the 7-year tribulation period is over and we reign with Jesus for 1,000 years, after everybody go to court who hated Jesus and lose, amen. Then it's on to chapter 21. Behold, I am creating a new heaven and a new earth.
Hallelujah.
Now imagine this earth not tore up. Imagine this earth, amen, perfect.
Man.
And not only that, but you can go everywhere you want to go. And not only that, we're going to have something we don't have now. Do you know God has been putting together a 1,500-mile city? Do you know, like, from California to Michigan? Okay, about 1,500 miles. Now imagine that square, 1,500 on each side. Now imagine that 3 stories deep.
Lord.
Imagine this is built out of blingage. What we call jewelry. Stuff we work hard for and pay a lot of money for. Guess what? In heaven, they use that to build stuff. So Malachi, when you get to heaven, guess what? Don't look for God. You know, Jesus said, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. If they use treasures, what we call treasure, to build stuff in heaven, what kind of treasures you got waiting on you, Malachi?
That's good. That's good.
What God got something better than treasure than what we call treasure waiting on us? See, our gold is all messed up. It's gold. Right? But in heaven, it's transparent. Amen. I'm going to get killed. I got to quit. Lord God, our Father, we thank you for what you've shared with us today. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that through the power of the Holy Spirit, we get to live out your will on earth. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that when we mess it all up, you've given us a way to stay in constant relationship with you. All we have to do is confess our sin.
Yes.
You immediately take over and forgive us our sin. And then you begin to work the process all over again. We get up, get back on our feet, get back in line and start walking again. Just like, Lord, when you see a baby walking and that baby fall and just get right back up and start walking again.
Yes.
That's what you're doing for us until we get home to be in heaven with you forever. But while we're here, Father, and we're going to be challenged over and over and over this week to recognize when we are not submitted to you in the flesh, to recognize that we've chosen conformity to the world instead of transforming, changing the way we think according to your word, so we can always be in and know what is your good, pleasing and perfect will for us. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you bless us, that you love us, just because you want to. We thank you that we don't have to earn your love, deserve your love, work for your love, because we'd never get it. But because you just so love the world, so loved your Father that you said, not my will, but thy will be done. We are all saved today. Help us, Lord, to remember that as it relates to submitting our bodies to you, as it relates to losing our conformity to this world and becoming every day more and more conformed to your word. In Jesus' name we pray and give you all the thanks, the honor, praise, and the glory. Amen.
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 Top reasons your career wants you to move to Ohio. So many amazing growth opportunities, high-paying jobs in technology, advanced manufacturing, engineering, life sciences, and more. You'll soar to new heights, just like the Wright brothers, John Glenn, even Neil Armstrong. Their careers all took off in Ohio, and yours can too. A job that can take you further, and a place you can't wait to come home to. Have it all in the heart of it all. Launch your search at callohiohome.com.
With a VSP individual vision plan, you're the one pulling the strings. Because taking care of your eye health after retirement comes with a lot of decisions that only you should make, like choosing how to save on the lens enhancements you need, the right name brand frames for your style, and choosing your eye doctor from the nation's largest independent doctor network. Even how you enroll is up to you. Make the best decisions for your vision at the eye doctor's office, retail locations, and online with VSP individual vision plans.